Welcome to the Chad Taylor Radio Show. Here's Chad Taylor.
Jeffrey Timmons.
How you doing, bud?
How are you, my friend?
I'm great. How you holding up through all this stuff?
It's craziness, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I feel like I'm in a crazy movie. You go out, all these people have masks on. It's pretty wild.
And it's not even Halloween.
No. It's every day is what it is.
Now, this had to interrupt your touring schedule, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, our touring's been growing by the year since 2013 when we did the thing with the New Kids and Boys to Men, and now we're, like, really cranking it out. And we had, I'd say, probably 60-some dates coming up this year, and we had to postpone them. Unfortunately for us, all those dates haven't been canceled. They've just been moved, so we're pretty lucky.
Is the plan to still put 98 Degrees on the road at some point this year or move everything back to next year?
I mean, that's what we keep going. We keep rescheduling the dates as this thing gets further pushed back. I mean, we still have dates on the books, dates to be announced for this year. But, look, the way things are going, we want everybody to be safe, better safe than sorry. So we're anticipating that those will get moved as well, unless something drastic happens therapeutically or with some sort of vaccine. And as we know, we're all glued to the news. We know that that's at least a year, year and a half out for the vaccine.
I think I was in Target. It was yesterday or the day before. I was in Target and I saw Jessica Simpson's book. And so I picked it up, and as Tracy was shopping, and I just started turning the pages and just reading and reading. I found myself, like, for about an hour, I couldn't put this book down. And you guys were referenced so much in the book, in a positive way, by the way. All the memories started flooding back of all the stuff that you and I had done together. But more importantly, how 98 Degrees, since reuniting and going out with New Kids and Boys and Men, have continued to make new music and tour. It's been crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we've been blessed. It's been a long journey, a good ride. Look, in some ways it feels like yesterday. In some ways it feels like what it's been 25 years, already. But we're fortunate that our fans keep coming out, keep supporting. And, look, as we get, more into it ourselves, I mean, at first we were just kind of putting our toes in the water to see if we wanted to do it again. And now it's become, it's all of our, it's our lifestyles now. We love doing it. We, of course, all do different things, but we're having more fun than ever. And the fans are having more fun than ever. And we're gaining new fans with, cross promotions by doing things with groups in different generations and acts from different times. And so it feels like almost, as far as the touring side of it goes, is the most successful part of our career so far. So we're lucky to do it.
Do you feel like you're appreciating it more now?
We appreciated it before, but we weren't having as much fun. So, when you're in the grind and you're a young guy and you're compared with groups like the Backstreet Boys and NSYNC, and thankfully we were, because those are multi-platinum artists that have, some of the biggest artists of all time, you're really just focused on staying in the mix. And it's a real grind, as you know. But as we're older, we've got families, we've got other things we're doing. Our life and death doesn't depend on 98 Degrees. We've grown to enjoy it more. And I think you're right. As you enjoy it more and cherish, you start to cherish it more and appreciate it more. But we always had appreciation for the opportunity, but now we're having a lot more fun with it.
I love that you guys are also putting the schedule around your family endeavors and things you have going on. I think that's really cool, too. I think there's a great balance of both work and home.
Yeah, we have to. I mean, we tried the big tours. We did the one with Boys to Men and then New Kids, which was like a 49 city tour, but our families could go with us. It was a summer tour, and the same with the My2K tour. When we did that, we could bring our families with us, but we did two consecutive Christmas tours and we couldn't bring our families with us. So we sat back and we were like, look, we have to find a more effective way to do this that we can have the best of both worlds, be at home with our families during the week and be dads and husbands and then have our fun on the weekends with the fans. And so we got with a great group of agents over at UTA who took our sort of wish list of what we wanted to do and helped that come into fruition. So we're really pleased with our team in that respect, allowing us to have, have our cake and eat it too. We can be with our families during the week, and then we can go have fun and do our pop star thing on the weekend, which is a real blessing.
Well, if social media is any indication what you're up to while this whole pandemic is going on, I get the sense that maybe there might be some Jeff Timmons solo stuff.
Well, look, I mean, that's not the intention. I mean, certainly I would love to finally put out a proper record at some point in my life, but that's not the focus. I mean, really, it's just like, okay, what do you do? How do you make the best of what you're doing during this downtime? I've been blessed enough to have a studio in my house, and I've always been into the behind-the-scenes sort of thing, almost more than being in front of the scenes sort of thing. So I figured, well, I'm with my kids all day long, my wife all day long. When they go to sleep, how can we be productive rather than just sit on the couch and watch news all day and depressing news at that? So I've just been cranking out tracks, cranking out music, and having a lot of fun. You know, I'm doing this fan participation thing and getting the fans to help me choose verses and hooks and melodies and lyrics on a song, and it's been a really fun experience.
I've dedicated this season to the podcast of kind of reliving my past, being out on the road and working with different recording artists and other people that were along for the ride, if you will. I just had a chat with Bubba Ganter, you know, the bodyguard with Jordan Knight, and we were talking.
Love Bubba. Yeah, yeah. He's an actor too, I think. He's been, yes. been acting and doing some other stuff. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he wanted me to pass along a hello to you as well, and he had just so many fun stories to share. The reason I wanted to get you on the podcast is we worked closely together for years, and one thing I've always said to people off the mic about you is I've never met anybody with work ethic like you have. I mean, and still to this day, when I still see you on the road or I chat with you, the work ethic has never changed.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. And look, I could say a number of great things about you too, Chad. Just the experience I had with you and you came at a time when my life was in turmoil. I was in the midst of a lot of things personally and professionally. It was a weird time for us. The industry was changing, and you know, you were managing it at a time when, you know, nobody wanted to mess with the boy band guys other than Justin Timberlake. So, you know, you endured some of those hardships with me. So, you know, we had no other choice. I mean, you worked just as hard. You have to hustle in this business and in anything for that matter in life to be the best. I mean, I've always strived to be the best that I can be. And my competition has always been with myself, and I set a pretty high bar there. So, you know, it's you know, what else are you going to do? Get complacent and get passed up by everybody, or learn, get better, get stronger, and be more successful. So that's the way I was raised, and my father instilled that in me, and he's still working, you know, into his 70s and a very successful guy. So I don't know any other way. I mean, certainly other people have different methods and rhymes to their reasons and methods to their madness, and kudos to them. But my best way to get, you know, to where I want to be is to work as hard as I can and capitalize and maximize on whatever potential I have and create growth.
When you and I first met, we met at the Radio Music Awards in Vegas, and you had just gotten off the road with 98 Degrees, and you were working with Jim Brickman. Tell us about that.
Well, Jim was great. I mean, look, again, the opportunities. I wanted to put out a solo record right away, and you know, look, pop music was changing. They were kind of tired and burnt out of the boy band members in that scene. So, you know, traditional media, including mainstream radio, was kind of turned in the other direction, and record labels were looking in different areas too. So I was like, well, how can I stay out there? And I was introduced to Jim, and I wasn't too familiar with him. I had heard about him, learned about him, and then after I met him, really hit it off with him. Another Northeastern Ohio guy, another guy that really likes to work really, really hard. I mean, Jim has created his own success on his own. He's created and managed his own business, as well as been, you know, sort of a really sort of cutting edge guy with regards to his business and his revenue streams and his merchandising company. And he's just a really, really smart guy outside of his talent. We hit it off, and he asked me to go on his annual holiday tour. I did that for 2 years and just had a blast with that. Again, totally different genre than what we were doing with 98 Degrees. He was more of a piano sort of you know, new age. They were calling him a new age type of artist at that time. But, you know, that was definitely a different experience for me, and a great experience for me. His fan base was much older, and, you know, they were really all about him. It was really interesting not only to go and sort of, you know, create some synergy with his fans, but just to learn about how intelligent and how lucrative the business could be outside of what I had discovered by being signed to a major label in a mainstream way.
When you and I met, you were working on your solo album, Whisper That Way, but there is a great story that you tell. Again, you didn't have this big dynamic team behind you. You had this great guy, Michael Caprio, that was helping out, who I still follow on social media and his brilliant works with Olivia Newton-John and just a host of people. It all came down to you, and it goes back to your work ethic that you created this persona, this radio promotion persona. What was the guy's name that you created?
Well, there were two. I created two because I had to have a bigger radio team. So not only could I just survive with the one fake personality, so you know what folks don't know is when your record comes out on the radio, you have these guys called radio promoters. So they call the radio stations religiously and try to get them to add your single to the playlist. And I didn't have enough money to hire a team. So my label was only gave me a very limited budget. So I figured, well, look, I'll just be my own team and call these stations on my own. So I created two personas. One was named Ed Furby, and then the other guy's name was Fred Smalls.
I forgot about Fred Smalls.
Fred Smalls was named after we had a security guy named Boom, this big, huge, tough security guy, and his real name was Fred Smalls, which was very ironic and funny. But I adopted his name, and every Tuesday, when stations were adding records, I'd be calling from 5 in the morning till 5 in the evening Pacific Coast time, all the stations in the country, and pretending I was these two guys working, you know, the new Jeff Timmons single. And we were able to get it most added a couple of times. So, and again, that taught me a lot about how hard those people work, and how religiously dedicated they are to getting their records, your record on the radio by making these calls to hundreds of stations all day long and trying to convince them to play this music.
Now, you're being really humble here. Not only did you get the song added at radio stations, which, by the way, is super tough if people know how limited playlists are. You made that single a top 20 record.
Yeah, you know, look, it was top 20, and I'm proud of it. It was on the adult contemporary charts, which is a much different chart. I mean, they don't really play new music. Nowadays, the charts have all changed. So adult contemporary charts and some of the hot AC stations will add new records. But that back in that day, they just played what was called gold records or classics all the time. So to get a new single on those charts or those playlists was really difficult. But look, you know, you can get creative with it. I drove into all these cities and met these guys in person, these program directors, and did a lot of the shows for free. I just wanted to see what we could do. I wish it would have gone higher on the charts, but I don't think I had the resources to get that done. But nonetheless, I'm proud that it made 20.
You went around the country once again. Now, you did this before multiple times with the band, with 98 Degrees. But then you went back through again as a solo artist. And the reason that the programmers were letting you in the door is because of the rapport and relationship you built with the guys. I've told you this many times. Being in radio, I talk to a lot of programmers, operations people, and they have nothing but awesome things to say about 98 Degrees. The way you guys conducted yourselves, the way that you always followed through on your word, how you did radio shows for free, how you met every single fan that came. And I think that played a big part in people going, you know what, if that guy's from 98 Degrees, let him in, because they knew exactly what they were going to get.
Well, in 25 years, I'm glad you recognize that, and it feels good to hear that all that work paid off, but that's just what you're supposed to do as a person. You're supposed to work as hard as you can. We're all blue-collar guys. We're all from Ohio, and we just sort of put on our virtual hard hats and, you know, went all over the country, met these guys, and we knew that every person that we met, every relationship was essential. And that still transcends 25 years later. I mean, that enables us to go do an iHeart show. It's for Z100 or for KTU in New York, and we're playing on the same bill as some of these current artists like Pitbull and Dua Lipa. And that's all relationship based. We haven't put any new songs out, so these folks are just supportive of 98 Degrees and all of us as individuals. And I mean, that goes to show you. I mean, treat everybody like you want to be treated. Not to be corny, but especially in this turbulent time, you know, relationships are everything. When the world's completely on pause, you still have those relationships out there, and you still try to figure out a way to work during this time. Well, I can lean upon other people to do other things because of the way we treated people on the way up.
For those that don't know, 98 Degrees as a white group was signed to Motown Records. You guys had idolized Boys to Men and got signed to the same label, but you guys were persistent and virtually sang for anybody that would listen. But there's a great story of how you actually got your big break. Can you tell that story?
Absolutely. And we still love Boys to Men. I mean, it was quite an honor for us to have our comeback tour, you know, on the same bill with Boys to Men and New Kids for that matter, two legendary groups. But yeah, I mean, we idolized Boyz II Men. We sort of sang all of their songs a cappella when we got back together. We wanted to be signed to Motown like they got signed. And, you know, like Boyz II Men, you know, we thought maybe to sing backstage at a concert. Now, Boyz II Men sing backstage at either a BBD concert or a New Edition concert. I'm not exactly sure what they did, but we bought tickets. We scrounged up enough money to buy tickets to their show in Orange County, California, when we lived in L.A., and sure enough, we went to the concert, sang to get backstage. Everybody kept telling us, no, that wasn't going to happen, but there was a gal at a station called 92.3 The Beat that saw us singing outside the fence, brought us backstage to a backyard barbecue party that they were sponsoring. We sang live on the air, and we were invited backstage after the show. Fortunately for us, we were able to sneak back. We didn't get any passes, so we jumped the fence and got backstage the second time. And there we ran into who would become our future manager, ran into Montel Jordan, who helped us construct our demo that got us signed. And the rest was history. I mean, that sort of exercise paid off for us. And I can't imagine if we hadn't snuck in the second time, what would have happened. We probably would have never made it, but we got lucky.
There's a story, too, about running into James Brown or having interaction with James Brown.
Yeah, there is. I mean, before that, I had my parents moved to Northern California the summer previously, and I had created the group with some other guys, and they allowed us to stay in Northern California. And we did the same thing. We went around singing to bars and clubs and restaurants and any place we would get a chance to be heard. And we actually met one of James Brown's management's brothers, who sort of took us under his wing and then introduced us to James Brown's manager. We drove to L.A. to meet James Brown and actually got to go sing for him in his office. And at one point, he was on a label called Scotti Brothers, and there was some talk of us signing under his umbrella at Scotti Brothers. And, you know, what had happened is those original guys had quit. So we didn't end up getting signed by James Brown and Scotti Brothers. And, you know, fortunately, I'm glad that happened. You know, I don't know what the group would have been like with those other guys and what it would have been like to be signed under James Brown at that time. So everything happens for a reason.
As I go back to reading Jessica Simpson's book in Target the other day, she talks about the story about you guys being in New York when 9/11 hit. 98 Degrees was out there performing the big Michael Jackson special. Tell us about that experience. You've told me this story before, and it blows me away because not too many people in this world can say they shared the stage with the King of Pop.
Well, it was amazing. I mean, that was, again, if you want to AP, who our group idolizes, or I would say me in particular, it's like I loved Boyz II Men and I loved Michael Jackson's music. And, you know, we were honored to perform with him at his, you know, anniversary special that VH1 was putting on. And we were doing a collaboration with Usher and Luther Vandross, two other legends, and shared the stage with them, singing Man in the Mirror for Michael Jackson, who was in the audience. My mom was there. I invited her. And it was just an amazing night, a dream come true the night before. And then, you know, the very next day, of course, is 9/11 in New York City. And we're there in New York, and I'm trying to find a way to get my mom. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I'm trying to find a way to get my mom home safe. And, then we were kind of stuck in the city there. All the cell phones went dead. All the pay phones went dead. Soot was falling from the sky. And, you know, you just didn't know what was going to happen next. You were glued to the news, which was terrifying, but it was very surreal at the same time. There was a very anxious feeling in New York, but there was also a very strong calmness about the people in New York as well, which is a testament to them, who are overcoming another crisis right now with such strength and continuity and with their way they're bonding is just incredibly just amazing to watch. I just love New York. You know, our career really launched out of New York City, so I just have an affinity and heartfelt emotion toward the people of New York, and just see how they're persevering through this is amazing. But getting back to 9/11, it was just a crazy time, and you know, we eventually got in a rental car, which we drove through, met up with our tour bus outside of Pennsylvania, and then drove basically halted our tour that we were on, and everybody went home, got dropped off at their houses, and then that was the end of 98 Degrees for 11 years after that.
That was the very last show, was the one that you did for Michael Jackson?
Very last show 98 Degrees did together for many, many years.
So that was never the plan, though, right? You guys were going to do that show, and then you guys were going to continue on. It's like 9/11 halted the band, if you will. Like, not only did it halt the world, but it halted the band.
Yeah, it did. I mean, we had been on the road consecutively for about 5 years, so we were pretty tired, and we were kind of throwing around taking a break. But it wasn't going to be until after we completed our tour. We had several dates left, and we were going to kind of regroup and figure out what we were going to do. But when something like as tragic and as impactful as 9/11 happens, you really are sort of caught in your tracks and stopped in your tracks, and you're like, okay, look, let's reevaluate this. What do we really want to do? We want to get off the road anyway. Let's get off the road for a while. Go be with our families. I had a young daughter at the time, and I wanted to be with her. And so we all kind of just stopped. And then, you know, we just got caught up in our own things, our own careers, and our own personal lives. And it ended up spinning into, 10, 11 years before we regrouped and got back together again.
You know, I'm trying to put myself in your guys' position, coming off this high of highs, being invited to perform with Michael Jackson, Usher, Luther Vandross, the Jackson 5 had reunited for this thing. What an amazing star-studded event. And then going from that, 24 hours later, probably not even 24 hours later, you wake up and the world has changed and you're in the heart of where it's happening.
Yeah, it's very sobering. It definitely helps you put things into perspective very quickly. So we're sharing the stage and we're in the glitz and the glamour of being filmed and performing and all this great stuff. And then the next day, it's okay, this is how fast things can happen. Your life can be over in an instant. And you really sort of shuffle things around and prioritize what's important very quickly when you're in a time of crisis. And that's what we all did. We were like, okay, that was great, but this is real. Like, that's amazing. That's a dream come true. But this is real right now. We need to figure out what we're going to do. How are we going to get out of the city? What's going to happen next? How are we going to make sure we can take care of our families? So it just helps you put things in perspective, just like what we're going through right now with this COVID-19 thing and the coronavirus. Look, we were out on tour. We were out there, playing big fairs and festivals and big casinos. And then the next day, they're like, you guys should probably go home. We're going to cancel everything. And now, you're at the house and with your families and homeschooling, and you're like, okay, it gives you proper perspective on things, a lot of time to reflect, and really you just start to really prioritize what's important.
I would have loved to have been a fly in the wall for the rehearsals with Usher and Luther Vandross. I can't even imagine what that was like.
It was funny. It was awesome. I'll tell you a little story. I probably told you this one before, but Luther, was completely in charge of that one. whatever Luther said went, whether it was he was directing the band that was backing us up or kind of trying to, put Usher in his place. Usher was out there riffing like crazy, and he was telling Usher, oh, no, slow it down. Calm it down. We stood there like choir boys with our hands folded, and we're taking direction with whatever Luther wanted us to do. So we were just in awe, and it was an honor to just share the stage with him. And of course, we're huge fans and still are of Usher. And again, we just wanted to make sure it came off with a hitch. So we were all ears to what Luther wanted to do.
Was Michael Jackson around while you guys were rehearsing?
He wasn't. It was interesting. We ran into him when we came into Madison Square Garden in the basement. We ran into him. He had Liz Taylor with him, and he was pushing her in a wheelchair. So we passed him and talked to him there. And then we had met him one other time before for something we did for KTU. We did this impromptu thing with all the bands on a jingle ball for KTU. I think it was Destiny's Child and us and Ricky Martin, and we all sang, I think, Rock With You or something like that. And Michael came out and met everybody and shook our hands, and it was very gracious, and it's just so many great experiences.
I recall the story you were talking about being backstage and Michael passing you guys, kind of the beep beep coming through as he was trying to get through.
Yeah, that's right. He was trying to get through. We were standing there, and Michael was ahead of his time. He had a mask on. He was wearing a mask. So, we were standing in line waiting for the elevator. We were blocking this entryway, and we heard this beep beep coming through, and it's Michael Jackson wearing a mask pushing Liz Taylor through the lobby. So. Through the basement of the Madison Square Garden. Yeah, I'll never forget that image. So we were like, sorry about that, Mike and Liz.
Oh, that story is just priceless. You know what I love most about you four guys? I'll keep referencing the work ethic. I think that goes for the other three guys, too. Incredible work ethic. Great family guys as well. But humble. You guys just, there's so much to brag about with the group. How you guys started, how you got signed to Motown, which is a legendary label that is just, again, Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, Boys to Men, Smokey Robinson, the Temptations. The list goes on and on. And you're a part of that history of that label. The other thing is, you guys had some tremendous hit records that still to this day, when you turn on, we were talking about Adult Contemporary and Hot AC, because I do a national show. So 98 Degrees, and I'll actually text Jeff. I'll be like, guess what I'm playing today? The songs still come up. And you guys hit number one on the big chart, the Hot 100, with Joe and Mariah Carey, which I think the song just celebrated an anniversary not too long ago. There's so much to be happy about and proud of, but you guys are so humble that it takes guys like me to like bring it up, and then you guys are like, oh, yeah, because that's just not how you guys are wired.
Well, I appreciate you celebrating the accolades, and certainly we appreciate all of them, but we want to always be more successful, and it's on to what's next, and not that we don't appreciate all those great moments and memories and that we have the luxury of having had the experience, but it's always, what's next? How can we get better? And, we don't expect that we're going to have, tons of number one hits or hits on the radio the way things have changed. We're talking about possibly doing some new music now during this lockdown and this quarantine, so you never know what's going to happen. But, for us, it's what can we do next? How can we evolve as artists and be successful? And we like to celebrate things and certainly are honored and feel fortunate that we've led a charmed career like that. But it's our job, just like everybody else out there has their job. It's our job. It's revered a little bit differently than, the best teacher on the planet, unfortunately. But to us, it's the same thing. It's our job and just trying to do the best of our job. But I appreciate you recognizing some of the things that we were able to accomplish.
If you want to know Jeff Timmons, I'll give you just a funny story going back to the Thank God I Found You story. So I'm a chart geek. So is my friend Jim. We just love the Hot 100. We love the history of it. And I brought out my number one hits book to Jeff, and I'm like, I got to have you sign this. I said, obviously you had a number one. And typical Jeff in 98 Degrees fashion, he goes, no, that's Mariah's number one. I'm like, no, it's Mariah Carey, Joe, and 98 Degrees. You all made that a hit record. But that just shows, it just goes to show how humble you are. I'm like, my God, no, your voices are on that. Made it a hit record.
Well, I appreciate it. That's a part of being, having OCD and being a perfectionist, and we've all got our little quirks, but that's her record. So it was her number one song that we were featured on. I don't really consider it a number one song for us, although, we were a part of it and certainly honored to be on a record with her and Joe. I mean,
right.
We
love Joe.
We love Joe. And even, and her great, backup singer, Trey Lorenz, is on there too, who he's amazing. So we got to perform on that with another group of, ultra talented people. Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis produced the song. So I'm honored to be a part of the song. I just don't, I can kind of consider it a number one B for us, because instead of a 1A, because it wasn't our song. But it's an honor to be a part of that project.
I'll tell you this, and people in my shoes in radio would argue that song hit the number one spot because of the heat, no pun intended, that 98 Degrees had at that time. That was smart and calculated, hopefully, from Mariah Carey's team putting you guys on there, because you had so much heat at the time, propelled that song to the number one spot. You got powerhouse like Mariah Carey, then you put Joe in, who I think is so underrated, and then you bring 98 Degrees in. I think it was just a great recipe at the time to make that song, hit the top spot.
Yeah, there was something about us that she wanted us on there. So, I think at that time we were really, really prolific with our records and her asking us to do it. I don't think she did it because we were the most talented guys on the planet. I can tell you that. I mean, she had plenty of choices, not to take away from our group's talent. We all like to sing, but Mariah, she can pick whoever she wants to be on her records. Let's face it. She's one of the goats, and the greatest of all time. So, we definitely put it in perspective and, jumped at the opportunity to do it with her.
Do you have a fun Mariah Carey story being on the video maybe you could share with people?
Yeah, well, that's funny you bring that up. Yeah, so we were shooting the video, I think at a high school or something like that, and there were trailers, and we were sitting in this one trailer, and you know, Mariah was talking to us and drinking a glass of champagne. I thought she was looking at me. And I was like, man, Mariah Carey's staring me down. What's going on? And there was a mirror behind me. So that she was I was not on the radar.
I mean, I want to put myself in your shoes and be like, oh, my God, maybe I have a shot with Mariah Carey. And here she's looking at the mirror behind you.
0% chance. 0% chance, my friend.
One of my favorite Jeff Timmons story is traveling with you to Southeast Asia, and in particular going to Malaysia. He works from like sun up to sundown. Anybody knows Jeff, he barely eats and barely sleeps. He had gotten there, and there was like, I think, a week, maybe less than a week's time to do all the promotion around releasing his solo album in Malaysia. And at the time, speaking of Mariah Carey, you were up against the release of Mariah Carey's Emancipation of Mimi, if I remember correctly, and the Backstreet Boys, I believe's Never Gone album. I believe that's what they titled that record. Hopefully my memory serves me right. But he had 1 week down there to, like, do everything. And Jeff never says no to anybody. Anybody that knows him, if there is a request, I don't care if it's a large radio station, a small radio station, a large newspaper, a small newspaper, big TV station, small, it doesn't matter. He does them all. And I thought that I could hang. I really did. I thought I had good work ethic. It was similar to Jeff. We're both Midwestern guys. We grew up with dads that showed us the way and how to be and, you know, how to treat people. And I fell out, like, 24 hours before this promotional tour is getting to wrap, I got sicker than a dog because I just couldn't hang with him anymore. And I clearly remembering having to be scooped up and brought back to my room. And Jeff just, like, he has continued on. And there is a great story, Jeff. I don't know if you remember this. You were doing a record signing at this mall. It just seemed like an endless sea of people. And they were, like, winding up the steps. And if anybody's been to Asia, they know they have these giant malls. They make the malls here in the States look like nothing. Label guy said to Jeff, he said, do you want me to cut this? And Jeff's like, no, I'm going to sign for every single person that bought a record. I mean, we were there for hours. Do you remember that?
Of course, man.
Hours.
I'm surprised you remember it. Yeah.
Hours.
I mean, that was just a great trip and a really great experience. I mean, I think that, you know, that opportunity for us to go there and be embraced as a solo artist someplace, you know, it was really hard to tap into that here in the States because of the climate and because of the, you know, not having the machine or, and, you know, look, that was new time for me in the studio. It probably wasn't the best material in the world either, but, you know, to go over to another part of the world, I'm glad I could share that with you. I'm glad you got that opportunity to go to see what that's like. And you know, the Southeast Asian culture has always embraced 98 degrees. It's up in the air on where we broke first. It was either, you know, Canada or Southeast Asia, or possibly at the same time. The United States followed. But, you know, Southeast Asia, and we have a big tour planned coming up there for 98 degrees in the near future. I think it's going to be moved to February now. But, yeah, they certainly love to work. And, you know, I'm never going to turn a fan away. You know, look, the dream is to have fans. So I'm not turning a fan away, no matter how tired I am. It doesn't hurt to sit there and you know, flap your gums and move your hand and sign autographs and give people something, you know, to hopefully brighten their day, or maybe even in some cases, you know, change the course of their lives. So, you know, being a part of a group or a band or part of music, I know what kind of power that is. And it's outside of just being famous and making money.
Well, the icing on the cake is when we were leaving. When we got back to the States, we found out that Jeff's album was sitting at number one ahead of Mariah Carey and the Backstreet Boys. And for anybody, again, that knows anything about the business and knows the machines at the time behind Mariah Carey and the Backstreet Boys, it was like Jive Records. And I believe it was Def Jam Sony, maybe, that was Mariah's. I mean, you're talking about a crazy amount of people working that product around the globe. Jeff's work ethic made it happen. That album debuted at number one ahead of those. And it was like, I was so proud to be a small part of that and be there with you on that. It's a memory that I'll never forget. It was just amazing.
You know what's funny, Chad? I forgot about that. I did not even remember that. But yeah, I mean, that's an honor. But that's what, you know, we went over there and we worked the record and we made sure we talked to everybody. And that just goes to show, if there are any aspiring artists out there that think, wow, it's going to be impossible for me to make it and compete against these powerhouses. And it is hard because, look, like anything else, you need to have a substantial amount of finance behind it and a lot of, you know, a lot of people work into projects. But, you know, that those extra things that you do, people remember them. And, you know, they'll, where you might not have the resources financially to do something, they might pull a favor for you to play the song a few extra times or help, you know, you treat a staff out there that's, you know, helping you sell your music. the right way, they might push you for you a little harder because you were there in person and, you know, spent some time with them and their families or their staff. I mean, all those little things really count.
This one, I don't know if you'll remember, but you were running like crazy. You're a guy that can just run on, I don't know, you just have just energy galore. It got to a point, too, where you did need to eat something. And finally, you kind of put your foot down. You're like, listen, I got to eat something, guys, before we move on to this next interview, wherever we were going at the time. The guy's like, well, I know a market. It was like an outdoor market. He's like, we can stop on the way. And Jeff's like, I don't care what it is. I'll just listen, wherever we can stop, I just need to put something in my stomach. And they pulled this car up to this outdoor market, and there were like all these cats and dogs around this market. I mean, just just all over the place. And we went inside. We went inside this market, and Jeff is looking at the board of what to order. And Jeff is a lot like Danny Woodward. He eats very healthy and was just trying to find the most healthy option on this menu. And as he puts his order in, the guy has got the hairiest arms I've ever seen in my life. He puts his arm in the pot and starts stirring it. And you just decided, you know what? I'm not that hungry.
I'll wait.
I'll wait until we get back to the hotel. And another great story is, do you remember this? I can't remember what hotel. It was one of the hotels in Malaysia. But again, being that guy that's fit and always in shape and eating well, there was just like no gym to be found. But they offered hot yoga. And you took the hot yoga class, but it was filled with nothing but old Malaysian ladies.
Old ladies. They were all looking at me like, what's this guy doing in here?
It was just such a great trip. And another thing I like to share with people about you, which I find just fascinating about you, and I think this might go for the other guys in the band with you, is that your harmonies are incredible. Like being in the studio with you, it didn't matter, you know, what harmony you were asked to do, you could do it. And you did a lot of people don't know that you did a lot of harmony on Jordan Knight's solo records.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it. I mean, we started the group, both of them, based on a cappella music. We didn't have any instruments. You know, we didn't have any keyboards or have any money to buy any of that stuff. So we only had our voices. And we, you know, look, I was in choir growing up and all that stuff. And, you know, it wasn't as cool to be in choir than it was to play football for my town. So I always kind of shied away from it. But it was something that's always, you know, come for fairly easy to me. That's why I like being in the studio. It can create music fairly quickly, but the harmonies are something that the group has always been really good at. We studied all the doo-wop groups and Four Tops and Four Seasons, and, you know, then rock groups that did a lot of harmony like the Eagles and Boston and Journey, and then up into Boys to Men and Jodeci and all the R&B stuff. So after you listen to that stuff, it's just like practicing anything. You start to really kind of hear where things fit in and how it works. And yeah, that was a real another honor, being a part of Jordan's record. I mean, such a legendary guy. It had such a dynamic career, and still going strong. You know, those guys are, I think, in 30 some years or something like that. But you know, just an honor to be a part of that record too. That was a fun time. That was a really interesting era back then.
It was. But here's the thing about that. So you being on the lead single from the EP, that song, speaking to the adult contemporary charts, that song went top 12. And I think we just missed the top 10 because Delilah wouldn't give it the spins that it needed to jump into the top 10. But it's almost funny. It's almost like we went back to relying on Smalls and Furby to help work those adult contemporary stations, along with Michael Patton Sawa at Transcon to get the stations to play it. And for me, it was quite the accomplishment because I got the chance to write on it with you and Jordan and others. So that's a career highlight for me, and to know that, you know, no matter what else happens, I can say I co-wrote on a top 12 hit, and it's, you know, sung by guys like you and Jordan Knight, and being out on the road at the time. Those are just memories that I just have such great memories of that time. And just, you know, the older I get, I think the more I appreciate it. And another great story that people might not know, it's a song I wish that would have seen the light of day, was a song that you had worked on at Transcon Studios with Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys. Do you remember that? It was going to be a project for McDonald's.
I do not remember it. What was the name of the song?
Oh, all right, Tracy, we might need your help here. Trace is in the studio with me. Believe.
Hi, Tracy.
Called. She's waving at you.
Believe.
Believe. So if you remember, we're in the studio. Lou had come out come down to the studio, and he's like, guys, I need a song for McDonald's. I think he was just trying to impress the marketing guy from the McDonald's that had come through. And Aaron, if you remember, Aaron Carter was there. Aaron was working on his some solo stuff. Nick was just in town, happened to be in town. Brian Abrams came to the studio. C-Note, they had gotten back together. So everybody's on. You're on the song. Brian's on the song. Jordan's on the song. Aaron, Nick, C-Note. It just never saw the light of day. And I think I told Tracy, I'm like, I got to find that demo. I know I have it somewhere. But it was...
Oh, man, you've got to find that.
But the reason I bring it up is it was actually a great song. It was the harmonies again. You and Nick, I remember Aaron Aceta produced it, and he's like, you know, he just couldn't get the other guys to kind of follow suit with the harmonies he was looking for. So he kind of cleared house, if you will, and just you and Nick layered all the harmonies. Got it. I got to find that for you because...
I wonder if Aaron Aceta has it.
He might. You know, I keep in touch with Aaron. You know that he's had really great success since being down in Orlando, too. I mean, he's written for American Authors, Best Day of My Life, and all those songs that he's been working on. And in fact, I ran into some other friends of yours. Me and Tracy did a few months ago. We went and saw Mike Caputo and Brad from LFO and Lance Bass from NSYNC and O-Town. And we were talking with those guys. And Mike Caputo is working with this pop band that was working with Aaron Aceta in Nashville. And I'm like, what a small world, right? It really is not. People think the business is huge, but when you narrow it down, there's always that 6 degrees of separation, you know?
It is. It's really small. And that's why it's really important to maintain great relationships with everybody because, you know, you might not like somebody's personality, but, you know, the industry's so tight-knit, you're going to run into them one time or another again in your career, rest assured. So it's always good to just keep good relationships. I'm not saying you don't have to be a genuine person and to be fake, but it's really important to just treat everybody with respect and understand that everybody's in the race together to have this success in a very, very tight, tough business. It would be really interesting if we could find that Believe song and really get some of those folks together to create something cool for this to benefit somebody in this pandemic, get everybody back together, re-record it or something, do something cool with it.
Well, you know what? Also, as you were saying that, it reminded me, not only was it going to be something they were hoping that McDonald's would hand out, but it was around a hurricane.
Katrina.
Hurricane Katrina, Tracy said. I got to find
that's
this.
What it was.
I'm on a mission.
That'd be really interesting if we could put something together with that.
Yeah, I'm on a mission to find it out because her and I talk about it all the time, just how great the song really was and what a shame that it never came out. It's just, ugh. It's one of those things. But I'm sure the band, I'm sure 98 Degrees has songs that none of us have ever heard that you're like, how did that not make the record? And where are those songs?
A lot of them, yeah. I mean, there are a ton of them. It's pretty funny. I mean, especially in the beginning there, we recorded quite a bit because, you know, the labels are trying to get us to really lean R&B. So we recorded a number of songs that were a lot more on the R&B side that'll never see the light of day, I'm sure. But nonetheless, another great experience, you know, working with guys like Devontae Swing and, you know, we worked with Donnell Jones and some of these other guys that were on the R&B side, the Carl Thomas, you know, the Characters. We did a bunch of songs back then in the early Motown days that never came out.
Wow, I'd love to hear those songs.
Yeah, I mean, I would too. I don't know where they're at.
Now we got to break into a vault somewhere and find them.
If you can.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if you knew this, but Universal, I said there was some sort of fire.
Oh, yes,
not
yeah.
Not too long ago, and all those masters were lost. So.
Oh, that's devastating when you think about that for all the artists involved with that one. So tell us about, now the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree because I just read a story about your youngest possibly getting into the business,
yeah.
Liking to sing. Tell us about that.
Well, thanks for asking. Well, Ariana is the youngest. She's 8 years old. You know, look, all of my kids, they all have their unique talents and skill set. I'm just so proud of all of them. You know, Alyssa started modeling a couple years ago. She's been dabbling in that. Now she's back in school. Super ultra proud of her. My second oldest son is you know, about to go to college for getting a scholarship for video games. My oldest son, stepson, is a wrestler on scholarship and also academic scholar. Ashton is on his way to doing a lot of things. Great basketball player, honor student. But Ariana likes music. You know, she's into music. She loves to sing. She's got a TikTok. She's doing her TikToks every day. And she's also, you know, into gymnastics and cheer. And she's caught the bug. I've never really pushed the entertainment industry or this on any of my kids. I've always been, okay, if they want to do it, I'll be supportive. But I'm not going to push them into it. It's such a up and down rocky road roller coaster ride that it, you know, you have to have a lot of strength and fortitude to persevere through it. So I wouldn't want to put my kids through it unless they really wanted to do it. But she has a knack for it. She loves it. She's always singing. She likes to dance. I mean, I'm just so excited that she likes to do that kind of stuff. And I'll be here for her and to support her and help guide her if that's something she wants to do. And if she doesn't want to do it, I'll be there to support whatever she wants to do.
If people want to learn more about her, though, how can they find her?
She's on Instagram. I think it's Princess Ariana. It's A-R-I-A-H-U-N-A. So that's where she's at. And she's got her own TikTok account, same kind of thing. And we monitor it. So we keep it private, and we monitor it to make sure it's people we know. And, my wife Amanda is really great about all that stuff.
I want to see you in a TikTok with her, though. That's the key.
Well, I did one, but with your experience with me, Chad, you know I don't dance. So she tries to put all these intricate dances together and gets frustrated that I can't do them, and then she erases them. So I'll do one of them with her one of these days.
Fans can keep up to speed with you in numerous ways. You're all over social media. Tell everybody how to find you.
It's just at Jeff Timmons on Twitter and Instagram. I'm on Snapchat, but I don't get on there that much. And then I have my Facebook page. I think it's called Official Jeff Timmons. I had several Facebook pages, but, there have been a bunch of imposter ones as of late, especially since the pandemic's happened. There are a bunch of these guys that are making fake profiles of singers and artists and trying to scam people. But, look, you'll be able to tell the real one. I post videos of me in the studio up there and stuff that we're working on. And I appreciate you coming and checking out and supporting 98 Degrees. And, look, at 98 Degrees, we're doing a bunch of stuff with the group on their quarantine by, creating these Music Mondays, just trying to stay out there, do something special for the fans at 98 Degrees. And I think 98 Degrees Facebook is like 98 Official or Official 98 Degrees, something like that.
I think I just saw your first one. Wasn't it Stand By Me you guys did?
We did Lean On
or
Me.
Or Lean On
we
Me, did that's Lean it. On me. Lean On yeah. Me, right, yes.
We did a little tribute to Bill Withers. Just a great artist and a legend, and we thought we'd pay tribute to him by doing a little quick song for him.
Yeah, he just passed away, right?
He did. He passed away 2 or 3 weeks ago, and had a ton of songs and very prolific in his time. And again, we were huge fans of his music and thought it would be great to do something to show our appreciation for him.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate your time. I know I'm taking you away from your family right now. This is family time. And I just really appreciate you being a part of this podcast. And I hope you'll come back and there's so many stories to share. I think we're going to need a second episode.
Well, look, man, I love you to death, Chad. And I appreciate, the in-depth interviews. And I'm glad you're safe with your family. Give Tracy and everybody else there my love. And, I appreciate you guys. And thanks for the time. And thanks for making me feel great during this crazy time, man. I'm glad we had a good time together and shared those experiences.
And right back at you, send my love to your dad and your mom and your brother and the kids and your wife, Amanda. Just again, really appreciate your time, and hopefully we'll get you on back soon, Jeff.
Thanks for having me, Chad. Totally appreciate it. Congrats on all your success. Love you guys, man. Thank you.
Love you right back, man. Thank you.
Find us on Twitter and Instagram at Chad Taylor Radio. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.